World leaders are gathering in the Japanese city of Osaka for the G20 summit. But the most significant meeting taking place between US President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping isn't on the official agenda. The pair will hold talks on the sidelines of the G20 in what many countries hope could mark the beginning of the end of a trade war which has sent jitters through the global economy. Jeff Raby is a Beijing-based consultant and former ambassador to China. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Good evening.
Right now, we're seeing rising tensions between Iran and the United States, the US-China trade war, continued uncertainty over Brexit. What's the mood heading into this G20?
Well, I think the participants would be looking for some signs that stability to the international system could be resumed, and particularly on the trade front. The single dominant issue in this meeting will be the US-China trade war.
The biggest issue, as you say, facing the global economy is the US-China trade war. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism about the potential for a breakthrough. What do you see as the potential there? I mean, this meeting will be key. What should we expect of it?
Well, I think expectations have been carefully managed on this occasion, unlike when they met in Buenos Aires at the last G20. And I think hopefully what will come out of it will be some better understanding about the parameters and the differences and some pathway towards resolving them. I doubt there's going to be any sort of agreement, and I don't get the sense that officials are backgrounding that some major breakthrough is likely. But Xi Jinping, for his part, is very, very keen about the optics of it, and that it doesn't end as the way, in the same way that Trump's meeting earlier this year in Vietnam with Kim Jong-un ended, with effectively Trump walking out of the meeting. I think this is very important that the atmospherics are right. Otherwise, it's very hard to see how there could be a negotiated breakthrough and trade further down the track.
The goal of the meeting is not to solve every problem, but to create a pathway forward. Is there enough common ground between the US and China to at least achieve that, in your view?
Well, once we thought there was a lot of common ground. The economies are very deeply integrated. They both have supported a global trading system that sought to continue to open markets. They're major players and share global responsibilities. But clearly things have changed. And the US is determined to challenge China's ascendancy. And the issues now extend well beyond trade to technology, either to ideology. And so it's a much more fraught and difficult context in which the trade issues are being discussed.
In America, the objections to China's conduct aren't just economic. They're about national security as well. Does that make it harder to reach an agreement?
Yeah, many issues are in play now. And I think it is very difficult because some of them go to systemic issues, such as issues around Chinese state-owned enterprises, their behaviour, subsidies. At the same time, the US has began unilaterally raising tariffs against China without a clear pathway to a resolution. So it's very fraught, as I said, on both sides, and the agenda is much wider than trade. It's much more systemic, and therefore it's going to be much more difficult to resolve through negotiation.
Donald Trump is preparing to fight an election, and Xi Jinping has been under pressure over the mass demonstrations in Hong Kong. Do these external factors make them more or less likely to compromise? How much does that play into all of this?
I think the election for Trump's important to the extent that in time the trade war could have adverse effects on the US economy. Certainly already farmers are being adversely affected in the United States. The administration's responded with subsidies to farmers, but there'll be other sectors of the US economy that will hurt as international supply chains in manufacturing are disrupted. I don't think Hong Kong can be linked to this on the Chinese side. Hong Kong is a major problem for the Chinese leadership, but it's not going to make the leadership more amenable to a deal. In fact, Xi will be very mindful that he maintains an image back at home of being a strong leader, able to stand up to the United States.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison gave a speech yesterday pointing out the impact the trade war is having on the global economy more broadly, and of course here in Australia as well. and he's actually said he plans to raise it and take a position. What did you make of the Prime Minister's intervention here or his potential influence that he could have?
Well, at one level, it was helpful because he concluded the speech by saying, look, he wants to develop a relationship with China, which has been in the lowest ebb since we established diplomatic relations now for the last 2 years. He's talking about focusing on interests and not differences, and that's the old John Howard formula, if you like, that served us well. What's changed is the United States drawing a line in the sand with China and going out of its way to challenge China on a broad front of issues. Now, some pushing back on China is welcome, and given China's weight in the world, it has to show greater mindfulness of that, its impact on other countries, and the need for it to show leadership in the global system. My concern with Prime Minister's speech, though, is that he sided very much with the United States on these key issues and did not address the systemic damage that's being done to the global trading system. We are entering a period where we're returning to managed trade, something that in the 90s we thought we got rid of with the creation of the WTO system. And I think the Australian Prime Minister really has a responsibility to be an advocate for a return to a rules-based multilateral trading system. And that does involve criticising US behaviour as well as China's.
Donald Trump has threatened to impose tariffs on the remaining $300 billion worth of Chinese imports if he doesn't like how the meeting goes. It's tough talk. How likely is the US to follow through with this?
Well, ultimately, it's going to be self-defeating to the US in terms of its negative impact on the US economy. And hence, that's why I think in some ways Trump is under more pressure with the move towards the US election next year. But he's shown willingness to play high-stakes games, and I suspect we're not out of the woods with that. And most recently, he's used tariffs in a threat against Mexico to force Mexico to control its southern border from immigrants. Now, this again is a very unfortunate development for the international trading system, where the US president uses trade measures to try and pursue other political objectives internationally.
So given all of this, and just finally, the US has argued it has the upper hand because the strength of its economy means it can hold out longer than China can. What do you make of that calculation?
I think it's very, very dangerous. I mean, so far, in the 6 months or so that we've had the trade war, both US and Chinese economic growth has been fine. But China has tremendous resilience. It's got an enormous area of development ahead of it. And China is quite capable of drawing on its own internal strengths to resist these pressures. So I think it's misguided to think that you can just bludgeon China into various modes of behaviour. Much better to find ways to incentivise them to behave correctly.
Jeff, thank you so much for your time tonight.
My pleasure.